Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. All right, I want to talk about unleashing our gifts this morning. That's the direction we're headed this morning. Hopefully you feel that we're not heading to Africa. We're actually going to talk about unleashing your gifts. You know, it's interesting when you step back and take a look at life, you realize that there are two very important, distinct gatherings in a person's life. The first one is when you're born. You know, when you were born, there was some people that got together and they celebrated your birth. They got together and they exchanged, gave gifts, they took you, they held you. They probably talked about how cute you were. They probably at some point maybe lied about how cute you were, because let's face it, some of us not as cute as others. But we have this sense of getting together and experiencing this moment of celebrating what this little one is going to become. And so we imagine it and we dream about it. A few weeks ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to a young couple in our church. They just had their first little one, and we went to their home, and we spent some time with them, and it was so amazing to hold this little human being that's only a few days old, and to see and to look into the eyes of this little one. And for me, every once in a while when I'm in a situation like this, I'll often pray over them quietly in my own mind and my own heart, and I pray that, you know, one day they would maybe come to know Jesus and serve Jesus, and that they would actually become everything that God intended them to be. And so we have this bookended experience, with the first one being sort of the celebration of our coming into this world. There's another bookend experience gathering that's significant that happens in our lives, and that's at the end of our lives. We have this experience where it's called a funeral or a celebration of life, and there's people that gather again. People get together and they talk about you. And they tell stories about you. And they laugh and they cry. And there's a sense of sorrow and loss and grief. And we enter into these moments. And they're very tough moments. I've had the privilege of, as a pastor now for many, many years, to actually be able to sit with people and plan the celebration of life experience. I've had the privilege of doing this now for many, many years. And when I sit with these people, I get to plan and lay out with them how it's going to look and how it's going to go, because someone in their life has passed on and they want to honor them. And so we talk about them and we laugh and we cry and we kind of find encouragement. And sometimes when it gets a little bit stale in the conversation, I'll throw a question out. I'll say this: can you tell me a little bit about this person, your loved one? And it's very fascinating to watch this unfold. This is like the backdoor experience of when we're into these moments. See, what happens is two things. Oftentimes what happens is, one is that the family begin to speak about the person in a way with great joy and satisfaction. They begin talking about the accomplishments. They begin to talk about the impact. They talk about the value that this person added to them. They talk about how they understood, how this person understood how they're wired up. And then the pictures come out. And that's when I know I'm around for a while. Is because the pictures come out and they begin to share the pictures and they begin to, oh, this was the moment when, or this is what this happened. And there's great joy and there's great moments of sharing the stories. That's one path in which that question can be answered. But then there's another path. There's another way people respond, and it's awkward. There's this moment of silence. There's this moment of, I'm not sure what there is. I'm not sure if I can actually say anything. And the accomplishments or how they understood who they were, value, impact, it kind of goes out the door because they're just not sure what to say. See, I've recognized something about life that's so important for us to get this morning. Is that there are some people who go through life, who grab a hold of life, who understand how they're wired up and how they can engage the world around them. They understand how they add value to other people. They understand how to create moments of impact on other people. And we know people like this. We experience people like this. But then there's others. There's others who go through life who haven't a clue about how they're wired up. They haven't any idea of how they can impact others, so they just coast. They just drift. and they kind of live the TGIF life. Have you ever, you know, you see that sometimes on someone's Facebook page, you know, TGIF, it's like, oh, they live for the weekend. Or you see the FOMO life, where they live out of fear of missing out, or they end up going YOLO. You know, these are old phrases that I'm trying to resurrect again. YOLO, you only live once, so, you know, we're going to grab life by everything we can, and who cares what people think, because you only live once. And people who live like that often just live an abbreviated life. They don't live to the fullest. So there's these paths that we walk. There's these paths where we can live fully engaged with who we are and we leave an impact and create value in others, or we can just live an abbreviated, coasting, drifting life. The question I think that's important for us this morning is this idea and this question of, will you live your life fully understanding who God has created you to be, or will you have made excuses all your life and miss the grander design of who God has created you to be? See, I think it's a question we all need to wrestle with at some point in our lives. Will we have grabbed life fully? Will we have engaged life fully because we begin to understand who God has created us to be? Or will we have just made excuses for not living into the design that God has given us? I think many of us go through life searching for meaning and purpose. I mean, some of us sit in our cubicles every day of the week going, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be meaning and purpose. Some of us stand on the factory line and we go, oh, there's got to be more meaning to this. I can put 30 years in here and retire with a nice nest egg of finance, but there's got to be more to this. You're going to a sales call and you're driving like an hour and a half to the sales call and you're driving and you're in the silence of your own mind and you're like, man, there's got to be more meaning to this thing called life. I had a beautiful conversation with the barista a few weeks ago, and she just said, Ron, there's got to be more meaning than just this. There's got to be greater purpose. See, I'm convinced that as I look at life and I look at my own life and do an internal reflection, I begin to realize that God has created every single one of us for meaning and purpose. I think that's why it's in there. We're created to find the answer to the meaning and purpose. But the question is out there for us, are we going to pursue it, to understand it, to live into it, to lean into it, or are we just going to coast? We're in a series right now called Unleashed. And we've been talking about the importance of unleashing our lives, especially our lives of faith. And so we've been talking about how to unleash our lives so we get a greater mission for life. See, when a person begins to grasp and understand what the life of faith looks like, they begin to realize there's a greater mission, that God has placed you where you are for a purpose, to be the presence of Jesus where you are. And so a mission is placed over top of you, and you get to live into that. We talked last week about unleashing our hearts. And our hearts to be unleashed is this idea of looking at where our treasure goes. We looked at this teaching last week from Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, where he says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And so he gave this illustration that Jesus taught about where we can put our treasure towards the things of this earth that won't last, or we can give our treasure towards the things that have eternal benefit. We send it ahead. Now, as I thought about that conversation last week, I did a lot of reflecting on that conversation we had. I began to realize that there's interesting that when we begin to, I wish I had said this last week, but you're getting it this week, is that I wish that I had been able to dial in on understanding that when we give our hearts to the things of this earth, even though they're not bad or wrong, that we can get great pleasure from them, that oftentimes what happens is we turn these things into idols, and when we turn them into idols, our hearts are captured by them. And we believe that these things are the things that give us meaning and purpose when they leave us flat and wanting more. And so God, Jesus says, give it towards the eternal things, because where your treasure is, your heart is also. See, when we look at the life of faith, when we look at the adventure of faith, it's not necessarily about going somewhere else, but it's actually living in the existence of your faith here and now in the place where you are. One of the things that hit me this morning so clearly earlier this morning was this idea that Jesus came. Jesus came to this earth. He walked, he taught, he told stories, he went to a cross, he went to a grave, he resurrected again to conquer sin and death, not to give us a boring, mundane, comfortable faith. He didn't give us a faith to be managed. He didn't give us a faith that we were, you know, that we're okay with it if it just has a little bit of an influence. He calls us to a life of faith that's filled with obedience and sacrifice. See, I think sometimes religion tries to force faith into the box so it's manageable, it's easy, it's comfortable. See, I think that the moment we put faith within the curbs of religion is when we miss the intent that Jesus had for us in our journey of faith. So this morning, I want to talk to you, with you, about this idea of unleashing your gifts. And hopefully we'll be done by tonight and we'll all be good for the second service today. I want to talk about unleashing our gifts. I want to take you to a passage in the Bible that is just one little verse, but it's packed full with unbelievable truth. Let me read it for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this: God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. This is going to be the base text from which we're going to have our conversation this morning. Peter's writing this to the early followers of Jesus, Jewish followers of Jesus. They were being persecuted for their faith. There was an external oppression on their faith, and they're getting tired and weary from the oppression and the persecution. And so Peter's writing to them, encouraging them, challenging them. He said, you can do this. You can follow through. You can read that theme all the way through his writings. But on this little tiny verse, if we pluck it out of the story, we begin to realize something very clear, that God has given gifts. Now, let me differentiate this for you. We all know and understand that there's certain wirings to people, right? We get this. There's certain wirings. You could meet someone and go, they're an extrovert, or this person an introvert, or whatever. Actually, let me illustrate this way, the wiring thing. This afternoon, let's say you're going to go to Spaghetti Eddie's downtown. It's a little hole in the wall downtown. And you're going to go with a bunch of friends. And you're going to spend some time having spaghetti and meatballs. If this doesn't work, we'll just move on. So just roll with it, okay? It worked when I wrote it, okay? So we're going to be there with some friends. You're going to have spaghetti and meatball. In the middle of it, you're laughing and carrying on, telling jokes. Everyone's having a great time. Meatball jumps off your fork and lands on your lap. Spaghetti everywhere. The sauce is everywhere. And you're like, oh, no. Everybody at the table is going to respond differently, right? There's going to be someone that says, saw that coming. That's the person you kick under the table. And there's going to be someone else. Well, if you would have actually angled the fork just right, you would not have spilt this meatball, right? That's another person you kick under the table, because they're always given instructions. There's going to be someone at the table go, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that just happened to you. My heart breaks for you. And a tear, you know. There's going to be someone else who jumps up and grabs a napkin, dips it in the water, and rubs your, tries to clean it up for you. There's going to be someone else, for whatever reason, they got a spare pair of pants in their car, and they go get them for you, right? We have no idea why you carry spare pants, but you just do in this illustration. We know this, right? We're all wired differently. Here's the thing. Peter's not talking about that. He's actually talking about this reality and this truth that for a person of faith, a follower of Jesus gets a gift, a specific spiritual gift. God gives it to us. Now, I was thinking about this when I was thinking about gifts. When my youngest son was in grade 7 or 8, I can't remember, it was junior high, he came home all fired up about playing the guitar. And we were like, wow, okay, this is interesting. Didn't see that coming. And so he talked about it for a long time. So we bought him a guitar for Christmas. And I got to tell you the joy it was to give him this gift on Christmas morning. As his dad and as his mom, as his parents, it felt so good. And he picked up the guitar and he started playing it. We were like, what? He can actually play? It was this great moment for us. God gives you a gift. And he takes great joy and pleasure in giving one to you. He gives you a gift. He says, I see you, I know you, I know the specific design of who you are, and I want to give you this gift. Out of my grace, out of my generosity, I give you this moment. I give you this special thing. See, when a person of faith when a person becomes a follower of Jesus, they give their life to Jesus, there is the Spirit of God dwells within the person, and that through the relationship with Jesus and the Spirit of God dwelling in that person, the gift begins to emerge in your life. And it's a spiritual connection. It's a beautiful thing that happens in a person's life. I want you to know this morning. I think this is the first step in acknowledging or unleashing the gifts, is actually acknowledging that he gives you one. He didn't skip you. I think so oftentimes we go, oh, you know, we're Canadian and we're humble and we're like, oh, God gave them to somebody else, not me. Yeah. I'm sorry I'm wired up like this. I'm sorry I'm gifted like this. Thanks for adding to the talk. I appreciate that. Those of you in the back, she's whispering away out to me a whole talk here. I think it's a real shame that that we spend most of our lives going, not me, not me. I have a vision of us as people walking around going, I'm gifted. Like, you should have been in the gifted class, right? I'm gifted. There's this moment when we understand that God saw me and gave me this gift. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'm going to. I didn't have this wiring when I was a teenager to teach and to preach. And I didn't. I didn't run for student council or president of my high school. I just didn't. I was shy, insecure. And as God started getting more a hold of my life, I began to see something emerging that was not of me. And someone spoke into my life and said, Ron, you've got to develop this gift of teaching that God has given you, of communicating. What's interesting about this, and acknowledging that God has given us a gift and we can walk around saying, I'm gifted, and so on, it's the second part of the verse that I find so fascinating. Did you catch what it said? It says that, he says right in the very last part of it, use them well to serve one another. Here's the shocker. Your gift is not for you. It's not. It's to be given away to serve others. When our son took out the guitar and started playing it, we were like, oh man, I didn't see this coming. So that afternoon, that Christmas morning, that afternoon, we were going to some family members, and we're like, Paul, you're bringing this guitar because you're going to show people how good you are. And you're just going to play it. So we show up at the family gathering, and he starts playing it. Next day, Boxing Day, we're going to Grandma and Grandpa's place. You're bringing that guitar with you. You're going to take it, and you're going to play this. And then we're going to get you a contract. We're going to be rich, and it's going to be amazing. Okay, a little too far, I know. But it's like, okay, the gifts that God has given you is to serve others. You are to give it away. You're like, whoa, 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 hang on a second. This is my gift, you know. It's mine, you know. I want to be selfish, wish I got to keep this. It was never designed for you. It was designed for you to give away, to offer it up to others. And he says, use it well. Did you catch that? You use it well. I'm convinced that when a person begins to understand the gifts that God has given them, there is great joy in giving it away. That when you use it well, what you do is you begin to realize God has created this, so I need to make sure that I am giving it away to others so that I live in a way where I'm far more aware, I'm in tune with what God is doing in my life, that when I say show up on a Sunday morning gathering or other gatherings in the context of church or other places, that I know that there's a specific reason why I'm here and a purpose of why I'm here, that I use it well, that I establish it, that I don't sit on it. There's a thought that came to me is this idea that we are to discover and deploy the gifts that we are given. I think too often we just sit on them and we make excuses about them and we don't give them away. There's another passage in the Bible that this guy named the Apostle Paul wrote. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. Look what he says. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. There it is again, to do it well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. Pause. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. I love this moment where we begin to understand, to unleash it, is to put it into play. I had this moment earlier this year. If you notice the list there, there's the first one, which is the word prophecy. And I've never bumped into too many people that have had that gift of prophecy. And and it's confusing sometimes for us. And maybe you are too. It's like, is this fortune telling? Like, do I open a booth somewhere at a fair? What do I do, you know? But it's not like that. See, the prophecy, the gift, I'm picking on that one, for example, in this story that happened to me, was this person has the ability to see the current reality of a situation and see the reality of God, and the person with words and speech have the ability to bring those two things together to create a new reality and speak truth into the moment. That's kind of what the prophecy is talking about there. Earlier this year, I had someone come to me after a leadership event, and she said, Ron, I have something to share with you. And she spoke into my life, and she had no clue what was going on behind the scenes in my heart and mind at that moment, and she spoke directly into it. And she was so worried about being a crazy person, and I said, no, and she used those words. I didn't. She used those words, and I said, no, you need to speak. See, you're not given it to hang on to. Romans 12, verse 5 says that we all are parts of one body and we belong to each other. See, one of the things that I've tried to help us understand as a community, and as I continue to teach and continue to expose these things, is that we don't go to church. We're part of the church. Now, there's a season and time where maybe in your journey of faith, you do go. You tell somebody, hey, I go to Forest City North, and that's cool, and that's fine. But there comes a point when you begin to unleash your gifts where you realize, I no longer just go, I'm part of it. And I'm using and deploying my gifts in a way that inspire others. Now, listen, there is this thought out there sometimes amongst people of faith that all they really want is deeper teaching, or they want more knowledge, and they want more teaching on the Bible, and those things are good and absolutely important and necessary. They want their faith to grow through these things, and we get that and understand that. But I'm convinced more and more that our faith, your faith, will grow deeper and stronger when you deploy the gifts that God has given you, because it's part of a body, and the depth of your faith will grow as you unleash the gift that God has given you. Or gifts. Keep it for yourself. You're robbing others of the gift, because we belong to one another in the body of Jesus. Now, as we explore this and think about this, and we kind of go, okay, this is very interesting. What I'm understanding for us as a church, and what I'm seeing more and more, which is absolutely incredible, is that there are people who are deploying their gifts, who are giving them away. I love watching this in the life of our church. There's so many people that are stepping in these moments. I talked to a young adult a few weeks ago. She's leading a small group of kids in our children's area. And she was talking about the small group that she had that morning. And she began to express what it felt like to actually lead these children in understanding faith in Jesus. And then she said, I even prayed with them this morning. She's a brand new follower of Jesus. And she was like, I'm beginning to understand. And I love seeing that. I love watching other people step into leadership roles and responsibilities. A few months ago, we had someone lead our 150 party in our church, and she rallied a team, and she deployed her gifts of leadership and used them so well. We had an amazing celebration. There's others. Last few weeks ago, we launched that new internal hub website, myfcn.church. Hope you've checked it out. On that, there's a little card that has a prayer request on it. We were so excited about this prayer request thing on our website, because you can put a prayer request in. You can do it. You can put your name, or you can leave it off or whatever. And we were so excited. But after the service, someone went to one of our pastors, Anthony, and said, listen, I pray. There's something about what I do. And so Anthony's connected her to this card. It's beautiful to watch and see people stepping into these moments. There's someone else in the life of our church who leads our city impact team that has the gift of helps. and he's deploying this and helping a community in the northwest community in the northwest corner of our city that has needs. And this summer, he rebuilt decks and to help people. See, when we begin to explore and understand how we're gifted and when we unleash them, what happens is the church begins to function healthier and stronger and the light gets brighter. It gets brighter. The expression of who we are begins to shine. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you're like, okay, Ron, like, I give up. You know, like, you've got my arm twisted up behind my back. Okay, I get it, I get it. And you're like, well, how do I discover my gifts? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, how do I discover my gifts? What do I do? You know, is it like connected directly to how I'm wired, or is it a talent? What is it? Here's what I want you to consider doing. I'm going to give you four things to consider doing to unleash your gifts. The first one is pray. I know, you're like, wow, that's deep. Glad I came to church, right? Is pray. Listen, God's not keeping it a secret. He's not messing with you. He's like, let's hide it for a while and see them search. And like, No, God's like, okay, just pray. Begin to journal. Begin to seek. Begin to listen to the gifts that God has given you. Second thing is this. What are you passionate about? See, I think sometimes I know. Our gifts are connected to our passion. So what are you passionate about? Begin to write those things down. Make a list and begin to connect those things together. Third thing is this. Begin to listen to people around you. And listen to the phrases they use. Listen to the words that are common that emerge in your life. When I was 16 or 17, when God was starting to really get a hold of my life, I had a youth leader say to me that, Ron, you're going to be a great leader one day. It was the first time I've ever heard that. I'm still waiting for it to happen, but it's still, he spoke into my life. That was supposed to be funny. It was that moment where and then other moments and other times, you begin to listen and you begin to find common phrases. The fourth thing is this. Are you ready? Just do something. Just do something. I think so often we allow our fear, our insecurities, I don't know enough to get in the way. And you just got to take a step. You just got to step. I heard this phrase, I don't know, years ago. You can't steer a parked car. You ever hear that? You just can't. You can jump in and you want it to go there. If it's not rolling, you just can't give it direction. The same is true in our lives. Take the steps so that you can steer towards discovering the gifts so that they may be unleashed. This morning, in the atrium, in the lobby, there's a display in the middle with balloons on it, in case you missed it. On that display are opportunities for you to get connected. One of the things I want you to know about the structure of this, of who we are as a church, is that we recognize that you will discover your gifts when you're willing to move from the seat to a team. It's clear. We watch it happen all the time. And I know some of you love sitting, and that's good. And you can do that for a season, but there come a point in your life where you need to take a step. And today may be that time where you take the step, where you say, you know what, today I'm actually going to go to that board, I'm going to look at it, I'm going to see the descriptions, and I'm going to take a step. Now, you might get into something and you go, wow, I don't like kids. Wow, what a surprise. We could steer you somewhere else because we don't want you there. Neither does our children's director, Tiffany. She'd be like, yeah, kick you out. Bless you to another area. But take the step, look on there, because moving from the seat to a team can help you discover your gift. You got a lighter when you came this morning. I was praying all morning. It doesn't become a trigger for some of us, especially if you love to start fires. I got thinking about this week, the simplicity of this lighter, is that it represents your life and it represents your gift. And I recognize, you can take it out now. If you've put it away, just take it out. Maybe this is what we're going to do. We're going to take it out. I'm just making this up as I go. I want you to take it out. You have a choice to make today. Will you take the step to light this lighter? Will you let your light shine through the gifts that God has given you? Do you even know what your gifts are? Will you at some point today walk over to those boards, or at some point maybe go on our myfcn.church website and fill out something that you have a heart for, and if it aligns with the vision and mission, we'll see what we can do to make that happen. But every one of us have a choice to make, to light it or not. That is really big. This does not represent my gifts. Will you light your lighter? I wonder, when you're done this life, when you take your last breath, will people gather around and will they say, wow, they live with their light shining bright because they knew their gifts? Listen to this song. You know, one of the things that we as a church, and one of the things that I'm fully aware of, is that there are people here this morning and listening to my voice that, you know, maybe you're in the exploring faith stage. You're just not too sure about faith and God and Jesus, and that's great. This is the place where we want you. We want you in this place. And you're thinking, you know, do I go and do I look at this board? What do I do? I'm not even sure if there is a God. I would say this to you. Go look at the board anyway. Because maybe, just maybe, your sense of belonging and contribution will help you move forward in your exploring of faith. That you have a sense of community before you believe. And so my hope is that each and every one of us will consider our role in lighting our light. I want you to put this somewhere where it reminds you of the conversation we've had today. That God has given you a gift. Will you light it or not? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for today. And we are so grateful for this tiny little verse tucked away in the Bible that speaks to this truth that you, God, see us, know us, that you give us a specific spiritual gift to be used within your work in this world. God, I pray that you would help each of us lean into this morning, no matter where we find ourselves in our understanding of faith. God, tonight I pray as we come back together as a church and to celebrate communion, that God, we would have a wonderful time of celebrating the power of the resurrected Savior, that we would spend some time reflecting. And so God, I pray tonight that we just would sense your presence with us. So we give this to you, God, and ask that you work and move. Help us not to just be great listeners of the things we've heard, but doers as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.